You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Thank y'all for coming. I was down here from 8 until noon on Thanksgiving Day, just walking these aisles, laying hands on the chairs and praying. Yesterday morning, I was so excited. I got back down here. I was down here for a couple hours yesterday morning just praying. I've been ready to preach this thing for a week, and y'all weren't here. So thank you. This means a lot to me that you're here today. Thank y'all for coming. In Philippians chapter 3, we read a very familiar passage. Everybody knows this. In verse 12, it starts out, "I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ first possessed me." No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. Now listen to this. "I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us." The Apostle Paul uses the analogy of running a race to describe our life. As we live our lives, he likens it to running a race. The title of today's message is, you're going to have to run your own race. You got to run your own race. The thing that most often derails us, most often, all of us, is we get wrapped up in somebody else's race. We just get all jerked up in our best friend's race, in a coworker's race. We're all bent out of shape about our boss's race. Mostly, we get jerked up about somebody in our family in their race. Your brother or your sister ain't doing to suit you. Your adult children, they don't never do to suit you. Maybe you're jerked up about your parent who won't do to suit you. I want to talk about the fact that God's called you to run your race. And your race is the only one that you are responsible for. Turn to 1 Samuel. It's over in the old part. Chapter 18. King Saul had been appointed king over all of Israel. He was a mighty man, a powerful man. He was head and shoulders above other men. David was a young boy, courageous. He took Goliath out. Y'all know the story in chapter 17 of David and Goliath. But in chapter 18, verse 5, Saul had made David commander over the army. Basically, it was what we would call a staff hire. And boy, this just made everybody happy. Boy, everybody was excited. They were happy. Wow, Saul is on top of the world. He hires David, a great employee. And we start reading here. Verse 5, "Whatever Saul asked David to do, David did it successfully. So Saul made him commander over the men of war, appointment that was welcomed by the people and Saul's officers alike. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine, women from all the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. They sang and danced for joy, tambourines and cymbals. This was their song. Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Church, right here is as good as life gets. I mean, it don't get any better than this. Your staff just knocked it over the fence. I mean, you hit a home run here. Everybody's dancing for joy. All of Israel is dancing and banging tambourines and spinning around. Oh, my God. But here's a problem. People can't just live happy. You people, when things couldn't be better for you, you just can't be happy. Life could not be better for Saul right here at this moment. But, oh, no, you can't be happy. This made Saul very angry. "What is this?" he said. "They credit David with 10,000s and me only thousands. Next, they'll be making him their king." So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The title of today's message is, you got to run your own race. You have to run your own race. We don't have time, but as we study the rest of Saul's life, you can read this. His anger, his jealousy, this strife in his heart completely unraveled this king. Saul lost it all. Fact is, we read, he went crazy. Y'all read the story. He went just crazy. It destroyed him. Saul did not realize that he and David weren't in the same race against each other. Church, they're on the same team. They are on the same team. Let me just tell you something. Me, Paul, Josh, Tori, Austin, we're on the same team here. We're on the same team. Let me just tell you, Brandon, Lucas, Timmy, Mama Kay, Danny, we're all on the same team here. We're on the same team here. You and your kid's school teacher, you're on the same team. You're on the same team. You and your coworkers, you're on the same team. You and other team members on the basketball court, you that play basketball for Christian Ministries Academy, you are on the same team. But I want you to see this. When we get jealous, then you get angry, and you start competing with people that are on your team. And when it becomes a competition on your team, you lose focus of what your job is to do, on what you're called to do, on what your part on this team is to be. I want you to know today, life is never, it's not an individual sport, you against the whole world. Life is a team sport. Yeah, we're all in this together. And with Saul, he began to think about the success that David had. The more success that David had, the more success Saul was going to have. The more prosperous David was, the more prosperous Saul would have been, because they're on the same team. People singing in verse 7. Look at this. Saul has killed his thousands. David is 10,000s. See, this is as good as life gets for Saul, for David, for Israel's army, and for all of Israel. Oh, Tim, last week you were gone and Josh preached the best message I ever heard. That's as good as it gets. That's as good as it gets for me. That's as good as it gets for Paul. That's as good as it gets for this church. That's as good as it gets for the thousands that are watching us on podcast. See, we are blessed, and that's a victory for all of us, because that's what we're all about. That's what this is all about. I can't get angry because they like Josh and he preached a better message than I did. I can't get angry about that. Christian Ministers Academy, our ball team, when another player hits the winning shot, that is listed as a Christian Ministries Academy victory, and you're on that team. You're not in competition with the other people here. He couldn't have hit that shot had you not been defending and blocking out your player. That shot went up was a culmination of what everybody else on the court was doing. The fact is, and I know this, he doesn't, but Josh couldn't have stood up here and preached that message had I not been doing what I've been doing since before he was born. He wouldn't have had stage preach on if it wasn't for me. Here's another thing he don't know. He wouldn't have been up here preaching had Paul not done what he's done for over 30 years in this ministry that made that happen. Let me tell you something else. That message wouldn't have been worth the flip had Tori not been doing what she's been doing in children's church, had Sarah not been doing what she's doing in nursery, had Sonny not been doing what he's doing at the soundboard, had Brandon not been doing what he did in leading. Are you getting this? It's an endless list. All of us have a victory when somebody comes to me and says, Tim, last week Josh preached the greatest message I ever heard. That was a victory for all of us. Absolutely. Today I'm using Saul and David as an example to preach this sermon. I'm also using us on church staff here as an example to preach this sermon. But it's not about that. This applies to every one of you. This applies to every one of you. I'm just using this as an example. You have to run your race. And you got to be happy in life. You got to be excited when anybody else hits a great shot. Now, I want you to watch this. I want you to watch out for anger over another's victory. Watch out for jealousy in your life over another's victory. Because I want you to read on with me in verse 10, chapter 18. Saul got angry and a tormenting spirit, my translation says, overwhelmed him. A tormenting spirit overwhelmed him. Let me just tell you today, church, when you get a deal with one of your coworkers, or one of your adult children, or one of your neighbors, or somebody, when you get some deal, a progression of events starts, and you will begin to live with a tormenting spirit. It torments your head all day. You lay in your bed at night and you can't hardly go to sleep because your head is rolling with a tormenting spirit about somebody else and their own race. What they did or what they didn't do. I'm just telling you, every once in a while we have confession time and I'll just go ahead and confess my sins one to another so that I may be healed. Because I fight this all the time. I get myself in everybody else's race. You know, I can look in 2 minutes. I'm an old guy. I can see where somebody is financially. I know what their occupation pays. I can know where they are financially. And I see them out buying a new car that's going to depreciate rapidly. And so I just start yelling to my wife, this is not their season to be buying a car. And I get jerked up about them buying a car. I see somebody buying a house. I can tell you right now, that house is way too big. They don't. Why is two of them need a 4,000 square foot house on? Do they know how much electricity is on? Do they know how hard? They can't even walk. They're getting so old, and now they've got a 3-story house. And their knees are. What do they think? So I get jerked up about somebody else. I ain't never going to go over to that house and walk up those stairs. I see somebody going on a vacation. I get jerked up all the time. They don't need to be doing that right now. This is not their season in life to be buying that house or building that thing. And I feel myself getting angry and I get jerked. I get jerked up about other people's parenting skills or lack of. I can't enjoy going to a restaurant and eating because about 7 tables over there, these parents and these out of control kids, and I'm fixing to get up and take them one of my books. I can't even enjoy. My wife and I are out for a lovely evening. I'm so jerked up about it. Ain't no whipping. Well, whip them kids. I'm telling you. I get so jerked up about their kids running and disrupting everything. I can't enjoy a lovely meal because I'm trying to parent those out of control kids over there. I tell you, I get jerked. It's not my race. It's not my race. Let me tell you, my grandmother could have preached this whole sermon in one sentence. She wasn't a preacher. Us preachers elaborate for hours on one sentence. She'd preach this in one sentence. Need to tend to your own knitting. Anybody ever have a grandmother? Some of y'all don't even know what knitting is. My grandmother, you boys need to tend to your own knitting. We're to be inspired by others. We're to be motivated by others. Others' successes have got to push me to success. You got to run your own race. And you focus on doing your part and what yours is to do at this point of the race that you're in. Now, here's the problem, and I want to explain this to you. We have, and we can't do anything about this, we have a finite mind. That's where we are. We have a finite mind, and so we have a limited thinking process. What that means is, if I see you walk over and get a big piece of cake, that means there is now less cake for me. Y'all got that? That's a limited thinking process. If you get a piece of cake, now there is less cake left for me. What we don't live remembering is that God is an infinite God. And that means someone else's blessings, success, prosperity, fame, and gain does not mean less for me. Here's it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. God has an unlimited resource of blessings that flows. Now, I want you to see this. When you live through only a finite mind, then you are doomed to jealousy, anger, unfair. I deserved it more than they deserved it. They didn't deserve it. See, you can't run your own race and do your own part because you believe that anybody else's successes are a loss or less success now available for you. We got to understand that we can celebrate with others, be happy for their victories. They don't limit your success. John the Baptist was a great example. This guy was famous. People were coming from everywhere down to the river. And he was baptizing these people. And man, he was blowing and going. But y'all remember what he said? There comes one mightier than me. I'm telling y'all right now, I'm not even worthy to buckle his sandals. See, John Baptist understood his race. This is my part. This is what I'm called to do. And what the one coming after me does or doesn't do or is here or not has nothing to do with what I'm called to do. We all know God is infinite. Everybody in here knows that. But does that shape your thinking? We're going to be talking a whole lot about this in the coming months. But here's the problem that we're in this world today, and a problem that we're going to be addressing in here. There are a lot of people in our world that check the Christian box. I am a Christian, but a very tiny percent of those that check the Christian box live with a biblical worldview. Now, that's a problem. I say that I'm a Christian, but I don't think like God. I say that I'm a Christian, but I don't follow God's thinking process in this world. I say that I'm a Christian, but I think and do my own thing. That's a problem. Here's what I want to ask you today. The fact that you know God is infinite. You know God is unlimited. You know God is all powerful. Does that affect the way you think about life? See, because if it does, then you're never jealous. If it does, you're never angry or tormented about anybody else or what they do or don't do. Are you getting this? God will take care of them. They will answer to God for their life. I understand my life is to be lived running my race, and my blessings have nothing to do with anybody else doing or not doing. Are you getting this? Does the fact you know God is unlimited, does that affect the way you think? See, if Saul could have understood this message today, he would have kept his throne. He would have died a blessed, happy, prosperous man, a highly respected and remembered king. Saul would have been thrilled about David's success, thrilled about what he accomplished. If Saul would have seen every success that David had was a blessing back to me, his life could have been joy filled. Instead, verse 10, a tormenting spirit drove him completely mad. The size of someone else's house doesn't have nothing to do with you. The newness of somebody else's car doesn't have nothing to do with you. The grade on the math test of your friend doesn't have nothing to do with you. Are you getting this? Junior high girls, the fact that your friend has a boyfriend has nothing to do with you. There's a lot better boys than she's got. And you need to know that. See, the fact that somebody else has a boyfriend doesn't have nothing to do with your race. The fact that, are you getting this today? God gives different gifts, but he does gift everybody. We just talked about this in the last two Wednesday nights in our series on Romans 12 and Corinthians 12. You got to take your gift and run your race. Back to David, it was not his money, it was not his education, it was not his size, it was not his strength, it was not his ability to sing and dance, it was David's ability to sling a swing shot. That was his ability that took him where he wanted to go. Here's my point today. Don't belittle your gift. Don't belittle your gift and your race that you're running. Well, all I have is a little slingshot. All I have is one rock and a little piece of leather on a string. Don't belittle your gift. Don't belittle the race that you've been given to run. You can read that story. You can read the story in Samuel. But Saul tried to outfit David with his armor. And David said, this ain't for me. I can't wear this stuff. See, in life, you will never slay your giants trying to wear somebody else's suit. You have to run your race. And you can't worry about somebody else's suit and how it looks and what they wear. David could have said, I don't have a beautiful bronze helmet. I don't have a massive shield. I don't have high top metal boots. I don't have a long spear. I don't have a metal coat that cost a fortune made for a king. No. David started swinging that slingshot and he said, watch out, Goliath. Today I'm fixing to feed your head to the birds. Come on, church. You have to run your race. You have to run your race and you do what your part is to do. And you refuse to allow a tormenting spirit to come on you about what anybody else is doing or not doing. If you compare your gift with somebody else, it's going to be small and insignificant. And you won't do your part to do. You won't run your race. I want you to listen. Oftentimes, promotions in life are disguised as Goliaths. All the others of the army were hunkered down. Oh, they couldn't succeed in life when Goliath stepped out. But David walks up and he sees it as an opportunity. Now here's what's interesting about that story in chapter 17. David asked, what will be done for the man that kills that guy? And boy, they knew immediately all the, oh, you'll get the king's daughter. You don't have to pay taxes. All your, I mean, they all knew the benefits of killing Goliath, but they were too scared of the obstacle to get the benefits in life. You can read it in chapter 17. They told David of the blessings that were out there, but immediately comes the list of why they can't have them because of the size and the length of the spear and how on and on and on. See, when giants are in your life, you can allow them to look bigger and stronger than you, and that paralyzes you. The message today is you just run your race and watch God do. You do your part, run your race, and you watch God do what God does. Oh, you can read this story in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were running their race. The king told them to bow down at his idol, or he's going to throw them in the fiery furnace. They just ran their race. They were running their race. Now, it's interesting. They told the king, God is able to save us, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. See, I'm going to run my race. God may not. I'm not running God's race. God may save us and God may not save us. We may burn up in that fiery furnace, but I'm going to run my race. I'm going to let God run his race. He'll decide what he's going to do. That's his race. See, the thing is, Nebuchadnezzar, he may throw him in that fiery furnace and he may not. I don't know what Nebi's going to do right now, but he's going to run his race. God's going to run his race. I'm not bowing down. That's the race that I've got to run. See, you run your race and you don't worry about somebody else's race. You run your race. Today, Joe Biden may or he may not. Kamala Harris may or she may not. Nancy Pelosi may or may not, but I got to run my race. I got to do what God has called me to do. I'm not running their race. Anger, a tormenting spirit, cannot overwhelm me about somebody else and what they do or they don't do. I refuse to let a tormenting spirit overwhelm me as somebody else is running their race. That's not my race. That's not mine to do. Run your race and refuse anger that you get from watching somebody else run their race that doesn't suit you. This is really interesting. Really interesting. We all know the story in John chapter 11 of Lazarus. He died. Jesus comes in, and Lazarus' sister, Martha, is distraught. Anger comes all over her. This is classic now. This is classic. Y'all know what she does. She gets up in Jesus' business now. She wades into him. If you would have been here earlier, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Seriously? You're going to tell Jesus how he ought to be running his race? Seriously, you're going to get in Jesus' business and start telling him what he should have done, where he should have been, how he missed it. You're too late. This wouldn't have happened if you would have just done this. See, because Jesus was not running his race to suit Martha, now she's all jerked up. Church, you got to run your race. Let God run his. Let Jesus run his. You just handle your part of the race. I laughed. I've been laughing 2 weeks over that. Martha telling Jesus how he should have run his race. Boy, if that's not me. Matthew 25, Jesus is telling about life. And he uses a parable, as he often did, about a master who was representing God. And this master passed out opportunities to three different ones. And as he does to all of us, that was the story. Two of the three produced with what was given to them. One didn't do anything with what he did. See, I can't, because they didn't and they didn't, we did. When I knew you were going to be in it. So he had all this deal. The two that ran their race, here's what they heard. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter in. And it says there was great celebration. The one that didn't, you know, we don't read this often enough probably. Throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. At the end of our life, we will. We all will. You will, I will, we all will stand before God. Individually. And let me just tell you today, when you stand before God, he will not ask you about Joe Biden. When you stand before God, he will not ask you about Nancy Pelosi. When you stand before God, he will not ask you about Asa Hutchinson. I got some things to say, but he will not interested. He's not going to be interested. Not going to be interested. He's not going to ask you about your coworker. Not going to ask you about your neighbor. Are you listening to me? He ain't going to ask you about your adult children. He's not. He's not going to ask you about your adult children and what they did or didn't do. You're not going to be asked about your boss. You're not going to be asked about your spouse. There will not be an opportunity for you to tell God about anybody else's race and how they didn't suit you. Your only responsibility to God is an accountant of your own race. Of your own race. 1 Samuel 18, verse 5 through 10. Because of someone else and what they did, Saul became jealous. Then he became angry. And then a tormenting spirit overwhelmed him. Overwhelmed him is what my translation, the word, uses. Are you today letting a tormenting spirit overwhelm you about somebody else's race? Are you allowing a tormenting spirit to overwhelm you about somebody else's race? This is a real progression of events in life. Jealousy over somebody else's race. Then anger will come in. You're just mad. You're mad at somebody. You're mad at what they've done. They're mad at what they hadn't done. They're mad. See, you're angry over the way they're doing right now. Here's what's next. A tormenting spirit. A tormenting spirit then overwhelms you. Let's read on. You're going to go crazy. And you're going to lose your own kingdom. That's the sequence of events. The Apostle Paul says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for what God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. Saul died an angry, crazy, tormented man and lost his kingdom all because of someone else and what they did didn't suit him. Church, what someone else does or doesn't do is just not yours. You run your race and you live your life happy and blessed and free. Jesus came that I might have life and life more abundant, and I'm not going to let anybody steal that abundant life from me, because I'm going to run my own race. Y'all stand. Lord, today we give you thanks for a word of direction for our life. Lord, we just fight a tormenting spirit. We fight anger. Lord, we're going to tend to our own knitting. God, help us run our own race. That's just not mine to do. That is not mine to do. Lord, according to your word, I pray for other people. I pray for wisdom on their life, but I'm not living my life, losing abundant life over what somebody else does or doesn't do. I choose today to be happy, blessed, and free from tormenting spirits. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.